If I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times. Family harmony and gospel music go hand in hand. We've got Heather, Valerie, and Kim. Sisters, don't go anywhere.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
You've heard their music when they were known as the Roops, and then in some formation with some others, with Kim's husband and Lord Song, and love that stuff. And now the family is back together in a sister formation, and the creativity and harmony is outstanding. The creativity in the song selection is outstanding. The creativity in the group name, I don't know. But it says it all. With sisters, it's three. And you guys, you get it naturally. So good job for mom and dad. Good upbringing in the music. And good job for good genetics, I guess.
Amen.
But this is maybe one of those typical questions that I always have to do at the beginning. How long you been singing?
Well, let's get back to the not so creative name, Sisters.
Yeah, right.
It's a great name, Daniel.
It is. Yeah. In all fairness,
because
then you don't have to explain it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, actually, we still do explain it. People say, "But are you really sisters?" And I say, "Absolutely." That's what we call each other.
Yeah.
We never call each other by our first name. It's always sister. How you doing? Or sister, where are you going? So that's kind of how it came about. But we started singing together as sisters on the Mark Lowry stage.
Yeah.
We were with Lord Song, and we were on the tour with Mark, and just unbeknownst to us and unrehearsed, he called us to do a song in the middle of the concert, and that's kind of how I got started. And can you believe God used Mark Lowry to give sisters their start?
So, we've been surprised with what Mark comes up with a lot of times, I think.
Definitely, yeah. So. But that's how we got started. We've actually been singing as sisters 2.5 years or so, but full-time, we're about to celebrate our first year anniversary, October.
Wow, boy, that year's gone by fast.
It's gone by really fast.
Created each minute and everything in it, so I've gone.
I've seen clips where you guys are in some acoustically cool places just out in the middle of nowhere, or maybe under a very historical landmark nearby or something, and you guys just break into a cappella stuff, which is great. I'm anxious to know what the typical passerby does when you guys or gals start singing like that just out in public.
They stare, but it's not anything amazing to them, yeah. I don't think, unless they're gospel music lovers. Wow.
That blows my mind, though, because the harmony is just so, I mean, I don't care what kind of a music fan you are, the harmony, I think, would just turn heads left and right.
Well, we did one little a cappella number at the Americana Theater in Lancaster, PA, and it was a Christian concert that evening, so people just kind of stood around and watched us sing under the rotunda. Mm-hmm. And then we did another one at the Jefferson Memorial in D.C., and when you go into those memorials, there are signs everywhere to be respectful and quiet, and there was a security guard there, so we asked permission to if we could just sing, you know, and at first he said absolutely not, and we said, well, okay. Sure, lost, buddy. You know,
there was nobody
in there. It was just us.
Yeah.
But we still asked, and we were walking away, kind of, I guess,
our pouty were hurt.
We had a pouty mouth or something. He said, "Okay, but make it quick." And so we did it there and put it on our website and everything. So,
what was his reaction after you finished?
I think he smiled a little bit, but he still didn't say anything to us. I think he has to be quiet.
First to see that life is not always a bed of roses. But I've been around enough to feel the kind of pain that it imposes. Mm-hmm. But when I think about all the times that God has proven true, I find there's nothing else for me to do. I can't keep from singing. Should have been my ball. I can't contain this kind of feeling, and I know there is no doubt there's nothing left to do but let it out. I can't keep from singing, dancing.
Friends.
at her knee, and like her I'm unworthy, but I've heard you call me child, so by faith I will lay on you and know that all the while you always
Healer of My Heart, Sisters, here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Let's go back and talk about the Roop days were pretty incredible, huh? I mean, when you were traveling as the family, and were, was it all three and mom and dad all on the road the same?
It was always two of the girls with mother, never all three of us together with mother in some formation or another.
Who was with the Roops?
Well, it started with Kim and I.
Uh-huh.
That's about, because Valerie's 10 years younger than Kim.
Right.
So
she had to put that in.
Yeah.
We started singing professionally in 1974.
Yeah.
We recorded our first album in 75. And so it was Mom and Heather and myself were the original Roops. And then over the years, like I was the first one to leave. I got married first. Mm-hmm. And then Valerie and Heather. And then Heather left to sing with her husband Greg with the Days.
Right.
And then it was me and Valerie with Mom. So it was kind of, we switched around through the years, but it was always two girls and Mom.
So one of you was always sort of on backup when one needed to leave, the other one came in.
Pretty much. We could always depend on each other.
And your husband Greg, by the way, some people may or may not know this. In fact, I have in my office, across from my desk, I look at it every day, it's a numbered autograph
Midnight Cry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could retire on that song, couldn't you?
I wish we could, if it was recorded maybe in country music or something like that. But not gospel music. But it's been good for us. Good for us. And he wrote the first number one song for the Roots as well, Angels in the Room.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So was he writing before you married, or what's the story there?
We kind of met because he was sending us songs, so we met through the mail, actually.
Yeah. Would he write a love poem or something?
No, but he wrote some songs for us, and actually Kim talked me into going out with him or something.
I'm sorry, Heather.
23 years later, we've been married almost 23 years, so it's been good.
Question of whether he's out there. It's not a matter of if he's coming back one day. It's not an issue of him being faithful. Some things are just understood. Yeah, there's no dilemma here. He'll do what he promised. There's no doubt about it. He's gonna take care of me. I don't know how he does it, but he's working everything together for good. Good. I'm sure, so sure, I am absolutely positively certain of the fact that I'm sure, so sure, his love is not an illusion, it's a foregone conclusion. I'm sure. There's no denying that life can be crazy. To know just what tomorrow may bring. So what if circumstances feel like they're out of control? They're no match for his grace. I'm sure, so sure, I am absolutely positively certain of the fact that I'm sure, so sure, his love is not an illusion. Positively certain of the fact that I'm sure, so sure, his love is not an illusion, it's a foregone conclusion. I'm sure, so sure, absolutely positively certain of the fact that I'm sure, so sure, his love is not an illusion.
Well, to talk about husbands, I mean, I always loved the joke about Lord's Song when that came around, and that's your husband's last name. I mean, that's an honest last name.
Lord is our last name, and it's so funny. What better last name could you have to sing gospel music was Lord? But after the Mark Lowry tour was kind of done, you know, he went back with the Gaithers. He just couldn't keep up with the Gaither and his tour, too. So. When that stopped, and that was 90% of what Lord's Song did, we kind of took the opportunity to do some things we've been wanting to do. Sisters being, you know, one of them, and Michael has launched a men's ministry thing that he's been wanting to do.
Does it involve hunting?
It involves hunting, fishing, golfing. Yeah. He said one day he would figure out how to do all that outdoor stuff and call it ministry. Daniel, he's done it, and it's crazy, but. He's speaking, like at men's ministry events, things like that, consulting and helping churches figure out how to get a men's group together and doing Bible studies, things like that. So,
will you tell him we miss his singing too? Okay, don't let him think that everybody has forgotten about him. I always thought he was really good.
Oh, he is. I'll tell him. He'll get something out there. Okay. It might be hunting related.
Yeah, right.
He'll put a song out.
Yeah. I stand. Amazed at the work of your hands.
reveals your glory. Everything you are reveals your majesty. Establish forever your kingdom and throne. Righteous Redeemer, you're faithful and strong. So my soul will rise up declaring this truth. You are holy, you are goodness, you are glorious in everything you do. In everything you do. Healer of hearts, making all things new. Nothing compares. There is none like you. I will worship you in all your glory. I will worship you in all your majesty. Your kingdom and throne. Righteous Redeemer, you're faithful and strong. So my soul will rise up declaring this truth. You are holy, you are goodness, you are glorious in everything you do. Your majesty, establish forever your kingdom and throne. Righteous Redeemer, you're faithful and strong. So my soul will rise up declaring this truth. You are holy, you are goodness, you are glorious in everything you do. Mercy, you are kindness, you are love and truth and goodness, you are glorious in everything you do.
When you guys decided to do this sisters thing, what were you expecting? Were you thinking that it was going to be some confusion between the Lord's Song thing and having to over-explain it? Or as far as getting that off the ground with tour dates, with the new record that was going to come out, that was, by the way, a self-titled debut thing called Sister, which is outstanding. It's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
Was there a well-thought-out plan going into this thing? Like with, I know you're with Daywind, so was that part of the deal at the beginning?
That came after we started kind of singing together on the Mark stage, and we had no plan. We asked the Lord years ago, and none of us can even pinpoint a specific time, but if he would ever let us sing together as sisters, that we would love to do that. And just through the years, all of our peers, you know, would say, when are y'all going to do a record? And it was just never the right time, and God just really started opening doors just gradually. So it was a gradual thing. It was nothing like we said, okay, it's time to do sisters now. So we didn't have this master plan, you know.
Right.
But it was a little confusing at first, you know. You know, is this Roots? Is it Lord's Song? Is it Sisters? But that's all kind of working itself out now, so.
I never expected every day of my life to be uncomplicated. Living on easy street is sometimes overrated. Cause every trial's an opportunity for God to prove to me that in the middle of the hardest place, he offers overwhelming grace, and I can hold on to faith even in the testing. Cause every promise that he made is mine. In the middle of the daily grind, when I'm looking, I will always find unexpected.
it pours, but with every storm I'm finding, even though the thunder rolls, every cloud can have a silver lining. So why not let my joy be overflowing? I gotta tell you that it feels good knowing.
In the middle of the hardest place, he offers overwhelming grace, and I can hold on to faith even in the testing. Every promise that he made is mine. In the middle of the day he cried, when I'm looking I will always find unexpected blessings.
I count my many blessings and name them one by one.
Offers overwhelming grace, and I can hold on to faith even in the testing, cause every promise that he made is mine. In the middle of the day of grind, when I'm looking I will always find unexpected blessings. In the middle of the hardest place, he offers overwhelming grace, and I can hold on to faith even in the testing.
When you check out the website, and by the way, what is Sisters' website?
Sistersmusic.org.
So when you go there, I want you to look, and if you find any empty dates, I want you to get your pastor or somebody to book them, because you heard it here first, there should not be any open dates on their calendar. Once you've heard them, I mean, it's just, Mark was so excited whenever he got the sisters together, because he called me one day, and that voice of his and how he can tell a story or how he can convey emotion. He says, I got the sisters together and they're so good. He was just like, you could tell he was really, really meant it, mm-hmm. and was so excited to hear the harmony and, put the excitement into me. And it, like I said, I mean, the radio stuff and the live stuff and the acapella stuff, it's just, you can't go wrong. And I don't know, when it comes to female singing, I know sometimes ladies don't, they are a little more judgmental towards other ladies singing, but every lady I've spoken to said, oh, love sisters. So,
well, Heather sings so low, yeah. People aren't really sure that it's three women. They think it's two girls and a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, her voice is like butter. It is so low. Yeah. So cool. But it's a little different sound than a normal ladies group, I think. So.
And in fact, this one is different. This is Brothers and Sisters featuring the Booth Brothers. And our guest today, Sisters, on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Because of you, I've had the chance to see what it means to stand strong for things that you believe.
Because of you, I've grown in my faith. I'm learning how to love with a tender grace. Yes, God always knows perfectly just what we need. He's made us family, brothers and sisters, standing side by side, hand in hand together, through the best and worst of times. We're there for one another, whatever life holds in store.
side. Hand in hand together, through the best and worst of times. We're there for one another, whatever life holds in store. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stay.
With family groups, this is always a question that comes to my mind. When you're not family and you're traveling together, maybe there's kind of a level of professional respect or something that keeps you from getting too, I don't know, aggravated or having too much trauma or something like that. So when you're sisters and you've grown up together and you've got a history and a past, and sometimes it's good and sometimes you've had your moments, what do you do on a bus or on a plane or in, you know, day and night, day after day of being together? Do you have, does that make you closer? Or do you have times when you think, boy, let's take a break and take a time out?
Well, first of all, let me say, I am the baby.
Yeah.
And she lets everybody know that, too.
Yeah.
Kim is like our mother.
Yeah.
She makes the final decision.
So that's unfair.
It's not. It's okay. Because somebody has to be boss.
Right.
So, but she makes, we all get along very, very well. Heather just goes along with whatever.
She's the middle child.
Yeah, right. The peacekeeper.
Yes, right. She is.
Now, but me and Kim, we kind of have spats sometimes, only because we're both very headstrong. Right. And we kind of both like to argue.
Yeah.
But other than that, we all get along
great.
But we
argue in love.
It is. It's not what you would think.
No,
we don't fight at all.
We don't fight.
Nope.
And we've always been that way. Heather and I are 14 months apart, so... We practically feel like twins. I mean, Mom even dressed us alike when we were children. And then Valerie came along 10 years later, and we've always babied her. I mean, she's a mother, she's an adult, and I still think she's my baby sister. Well, she is, but we have to protect her.
Right,
so,
right.
But we get along great, and we're having a blast together. I mean, we are having a ball.
We are.
Didn't you guys do something in D.C. for like a prayer breakfast type event or something like that?
Cal Thomas, he works for the Washington Post, columnist, and he also is on Fox News. He saw us do one of the a cappella songs in the Rotunda in Pennsylvania and said he fell in love with us immediately, and he called as soon as he had seen it and invited us to a media dinner that he does every year. And it's the night before the prayer breakfast.
Gotcha.
So the next morning we got to go to the prayer breakfast as well.
It was an honor.
Very different.
Yeah. It was an honor for us to be invited.
And from that event, somebody heard us at Cal's event, and we've been invited back to Washington, and we're actually singing very soon at a gala that is the closing event to the Value Voters Summit, which is a conservative Christian thing all week long in D.C., so we're headed there, too. So
what do you say to the people who want to argue and say separation of church and state, church shouldn't be doing stuff like that? What's your reason for being there singing this kind of music at those events?
I don't argue politics with anybody because I'm not well-versed enough in politics. But we were invited to sing about Jesus, and that's exactly what we're going to do. That's it. We don't know why we're there. Don't have a clue. God has a plan for some reason or another, but we're just going to go sing about Jesus and let God do with it what he wants to.
And it's probably a very freeing thing to say, hey, if you're inviting us to sing about Jesus, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to ask too many questions. We'll
exactly.
come sing about
we
him.
We just said, where do we go? What time do we show up? What do we wear?
How stressful would it be to try to figure out, you know, who's who and what's what and try to make a judgment call as to what's worthy or not? You know, if you've got ears to hear, proclaim it, right?
Yes.
Done with rehab again, and now he's on his way back to face the consequences and see what love can forgive. To hell and back is so far to go. He doesn't know he's never been alone, but mercy.
I understand there are three projects that now are out from Sisters. One is the debut that's self-titled, it's called Sisters, and then there's a...
We have four.
There's four out.
Four total. The original.
In a year? That's mm-hmm. a lot of music.
Two years now, okay.
We
cut the first one, the self-titled, when we were still with Mark and Lord's Home.
Gotcha.
And then we did one that we call Renewed, and it's some of our favorite cuts that the Roots did. And then we have the Christmas one. mm-hmm. and now our new release from Daywind, Healer of My Heart, is the new one from Daywind.
So you got Greg as a built-in songwriter.
I do.
So does he not only help, obviously, in writing himself, but does he... Do you use him as kind of a judgment call as to from a writer judging another writer's work, or is it you three that kind of make those decisions?
I'm pretty hard on Greg.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, we're going to make a new CD. You need to give us some songs. We're listening. And if he, you know, is slack and don't get us songs like he did on this project,
yeah,
he didn't get anything to us.
We're
and
pretty
of course,
upset about it.
As soon
yeah.
as we finish recording, he writes 10 new songs.
Yeah.
And they're great.
But, and they're yeah. really good. Yeah. But yeah. he missed this project.
But what we do is, it seems like I'm the one that gets the first listen to the CD. I always try to listen to every song that we get. You know, sometimes you'll get a CD with, you know, 10, 12, 20 demos, and that's just one CD. We probably listen to 300 songs to get 11.
Wow.
But I'll listen through, and if something jumps out at me, then I'll let Heather hear it. And then we'll let Valerie hear it. Or, you know, if one of us hears it first, you know, if we feel it has merit or something that we might want to say, then the three of us, you know, sit down and listen to it. And then we listen to it again and again. Sometimes you have to listen like two or three times and you say, hey, I missed that, or that's really good after all.
Mm.
But it's a, you know, collaborative effort. So
I'm going to make an attempt to ask some female-oriented questions for the...
Are you sure?
Since you are sisters and since we have women listening, who makes the fashion decisions as far as coordinating for stage wear type stuff?
We kind of all think alike where clothes are concerned. Yeah. And Valerie waits till we buy something so she don't
so
have to
then
buy
I'll
it.
Wear it.
So she borrows all of our stuff.
But see, this is the bad thing. They both have gotten skinny on me. So now I'm the fat sister. And I can't fit in their clothes. I'm pretty upset about it, too.
Well, being the younger one, do you have different opinions sometimes? Maybe they're a little too, I don't know, old-fashioned or conservative or something, and you want to push the envelope?
You know
they're
what?
A little old-fashioned. You know what she said to me? You asked that question at the right time. We're going through our wardrobe trying to find something really dressy for this Washington thing we're going to.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I have that black suit with the kind of sparklies. She said, that's a little motherly for me. I said, you just didn't say that, did you?
No. And she's probably going to end up wearing it.
It's one thing that fits.
Oh, wow.
No, we share. We share we everything. Do. Jewelry, makeup, mm-hmm. clothes. The only thing we don't share is shoes. Mm-hmm. We each wear different size shoes.
Do you ever get the power of three? I'm trying to think of three women. You walk into a sanctuary, and let's face it, the church world, a lot of times you have a lot of men in leadership, mm-hmm. and but you have a lot of, I think a lot of the women are kind of the fuel behind the church. So when you three walk in, have there been any interesting moments where maybe that's a church that's used to male quartets or used to a male soloist or something, or have churches been fairly open? I'm just asking the question. I know you see all types, so this is maybe a stab in the dark to know maybe there are still some churches out there who... Have you ever had any issue with that and had to explain your calling and why you're there?
Not anymore. It used to be that way years ago when we first started, you know, as the Roops. But it's changed through the years. We know our place. When we go into a church, we are invited guests. And we never overstep any boundaries, but we always try immediately to meet with the mm-hmm. staff, you know, mm-hmm. the music pastor. We always try to have a moment when we get to pray with the pastor, you know, mm-hmm. before. And we have been to a couple of churches that we are the first all-female group that they've had. Mm-hmm. But everybody's most of the time just very gracious and... We're not treated any differently mm-hmm. than anybody else. It's just very gracious.
You're the healer of my heart. When my world is torn apart, you're the mender of my soul. Only troubled times.
better than I even know myself. You know that I am merely clay, a vessel that so often breaks. But when I do, Lord, then you take the pieces of me and make them complete.
You're the healer of my heart when my world is torn apart. You're the mender of my soul. Only you can make me whole.
My trembling hands can barely cling, and in that blessed hiding place, I'm covered by a
would you say outside of music? Obviously, that's what you are, singer. So outside of music, it seems like, I don't know if it's intentional, I think it's just kind of the way it just kind of happens, that you find yourself having kind of a secondary focus of ministry. So I don't know for you guys what it would be, if it would be, you know, you have a ministry to women, or you have a ministry for just certain, you just see a trend in concerts where maybe it's a song you're singing speaks to a certain issue that's going on in a family or a certain problem that's going on with a church. Do you kind of have a mission or a focus in either the songs or something that goes on in a worship service towards the end where there's a time of prayer and healing?
I would say that we want to give people hope. I can speak for myself, the past 2 years have been the most difficult 2 years of my life. And I would have to say it would be for all three of us. We have gone through things that we never would have even imagined going through. And I found myself in a place personally that I never dreamed of even being in. And to be honest with you, our new songs have ministered to me and have given me hope again. And so that's really our message, is to give hope to hurting people. Because if you have hope, you can face anything.
Yeah.
And we always consider who our audience is. And we know in any given situation, there's going to be hurting people out there because we're all alike. We're all the same. Yeah. As Mark Lowry says, we just so happen to be a foot taller than you on a stage and we're holding a microphone. That is the only difference. And we face the same things that the people in our audience face. And like Valerie said, we just want to remind people that God is good. And even though we face situations that sometimes we don't have a clue why or what God's doing, just remind them that He is good and He's working a plan. And He sees the end result of that plan that He's working. And we just have to, you know, keep the faith. And we try to encourage people through our songs and just try to be real with people, you know. Life's hard, it's tough, but you know, here's what Jesus can do, and just make a decision to trust, and that's what we try to convey to our audience.
I know even in my life, the songs that we've sang and how we've ministered to people, the things that I have been through personally, I have been able to help people even in my community, people who are going through similar things, and if I hadn't have gone through that, I wouldn't have been able to help them.
Sisters on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Even there in my shame, you grant my one plea. You take these chains and you give to me your grace. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sins.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Our guests today are sisters Heather, Valerie, and Kim. And I don't know how you guys did your programs when you were with the Roops, the family group, but I do know, I think I can speak with certainty, that when you guys, as Lord Song, did Mark Lowry and then formed Sisters with Mark, that it was, you might know the first and the last song, but everything in between was just kind of whatever came through his mind. So with that in mind, you can speak to that specifically, or if there's something else that comes up, what did touring with Mark teach you, or what did you learn different than all the years traveling as the Roops beforehand?
I think, well, you were right about the schedule. We never knew the program. We didn't have a program.
Yeah.
But that made it interesting, you know, because we had to stay on our toes and be ready for him to call anything. But he really, really got down to the nitty-gritty when it came to ministering to people. And what we loved was that people would come to the concerts with Mark expecting to be entertained, and they had no idea they were going to hear so much about Jesus. And but what were some of the things that he always talked about? He just always would drive home the fact that God loves us. No matter
what. Crazy,
absolutely out of his mind. Crazy in love with us.
And not only does he love us, he likes us.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, if you think about that, that will give you a fresh perspective.
And that you're never too broken to belong. His whole message is grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
So that is really something you can dwell on and think about, is God's grace and how much he really, really loves us. And it makes you want to share that with other people.
Yeah, and sometimes, not that it's absent from gospel music, that's certainly what it's about, but sometimes in the typical, at least in years past, some of the gospel songs that you heard, it was in there, but it maybe wasn't a good solid foundation. And I think it's come back around that people need to hear that. I think we're living in a, you know, a world that kind of has forgotten how good the good news really is. And that, so that's exactly what you're saying there. So sistersmusic.org online is where we can find out more. And you guys are great to spend time with us and to keep singing this music. What do you do to stay vocally up to par? Do you not speak during the day or drink a certain mixture?
We don't do any of the right things. We just we eat whatever, and we don't drink enough water. And
we're bad.
It's rare that we even do vocal exercises before we sing.
We warm up a little.
We warm up a little, usually, especially Sunday mornings in the van on the way to the church.
Right.
We're just loud, you know, doing all of our vocal rolls and scales and stuff, but we just get up and just flat foot sing. That's all we know how to do.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And you're from South Carolina. You always been there?
Yeah, South Carolina. That's where we're all from. Upstate South Carolina.
Well, thanks for taking time for us and many more years of Sisters Music to come, hopefully, okay?
Thank you so much.
It's been great. Thank you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.